Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us for another edition of Rucking Around. I'm here with Joe, as usual. No Ben today. So, Joe, say hi.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah, so what day is it now? It's Monday. So the semi-final was Saturday. And obviously, everyone knows by now, Harlequins got to the final. We did it. We had a really, really hard away game. We made it really hard for ourselves as well. 28-5 down at halftime, but came back to win it 43-36 after extra time. And yeah, Joe, how did you feel about it?
Still in awe, to be honest. Biggest ever comeback in Premiership history. I think only the fifth away semi-final win out of 33. Just unbelievable, like unbelievable game. I just can't. Easily one of the best games I've ever seen.
Yeah, definitely.
It was just unbelievable. Just never know. There's no quit in that team. No quit in Quins at all. Never know when they're done. You know, 28-0 down. We were absolutely shocking in that first half. Mm. We just got absolutely battered. I think we'd only made about 12 carries, like half an hour in.
I think, yeah. Bristol came out of the traps flying. They've obviously got the players to do it as well. When Drandia put us under a lot of pressure.
Piatow was awesome.
Malins was good as well. He got a hat-trick that game, let's not forget. I did text you at halftime, though. I did say, I wasn't going to put this on the record because I think every person, not only Quins fan, but everyone had sort of given up on the game by that point. 28-5 down. At halftime, you're thinking the game's over. I did say, I texted you, said, come back inbound. It's coming. It's on. I had a feeling. I wasn't ready to give up on the game. Just, you know, usually I can be quite pessimistic. But for some reason, I just thought, you know what? We've done it against a similar school. We did it against, Wasps. I thought, you know, they've just got to come out the second half and literally it's 40 minutes of you know, their season left. They might as well try and just play anything. If we can do something, it is score tries. So I wasn't quietly confident, but I wasn't giving up on it. I wasn't ready to give up. So I'm glad I was proven right in the end. But I mean, what a comeback. The tries that we scored as well were just absolutely delightful. Like they're just, you know, a couple of them off first phase, like one off the line out. That line, that, oh, Don Brandt ran. Oh my God, that was just sexy, man. Tapuai, I think he's losing his place for Andre Esthuizen, but that little tip on pass through the gap was beautiful. I think, you know, he's on the bench for me, but.
Yeah, he's definitely on the bench.
But yeah, I think we've got, now that SA is in play, I don't know if you agree, but he's got a start for me, him and Marchant in the centership, you know, like partnership. I think that's the best centers we've got. Maybe, I don't know, actually, for wing, because what's his name? Aaron Morris is injured. I don't know if he's going to be available, but he kicked that ball when he pulled up straight away, didn't he?
Yeah, I think it has to be Northmore. I think you go. Obviously, 9 or 10 pick themselves. Esterhazen, March, and Liner, Northmore, and Green, and then Tapuai on the bench. Because then you've got every backfield position covered with, you know, Liner, March, and both play 15 and wing.
Yeah.
Tapuai can play 12, 13. Northmore can play 13, wing, 12.
How good was Liner as well? Like,
yeah, he's awesome, man. I just think, as well, like, he's still really raw. Like, he's like my age, you know, he's still, and his dad's like one of the greatest Australian rugby players of all time. In fact, not even just Australian, like one of the best rugby players of all time in the world. Yeah, he's awesome, man. He loves contact more than his dad did, that's for sure. He was absolutely smashed Emmy, yeah.
Oh my God, that was like the first minute of the game as well. I was like, fair play to him. He's not, and he also, because he was, he had to sort of check back on himself, didn't he, to make the tackle. So it was not like, it was a hard tackle to make, you know, not just because it's Randrandra, but the angle that he had to go in at as well. So
it was phenomenal defending. He had Malins covered the whole time and then just switched and dropped a shoulder into a semi. But yeah, I just think, I mean, we spoke about it on the phone, but I am just cautious again, like with my just being pessimistic, but feel like Queens might have played their final, because that was just, it's going to be so hard for them to get up for another game, to go beyond that against the champions. And it's just very reminiscent of what happened to Wasps last season in terms of...
Yeah, but I think Wasps were a worse team, though. They were lucky to get to the final. They were lucky. We've played well, in my opinion anyway. I think we've played well throughout the season. Wasps were a little bit... I think they were average. They came back after COVID and actually did well. And a few of the teams didn't, like Northampton and stuff that year. Like, they were shit.
Yeah, that's true.
A bit poor, but... I think Quinns are a much better side than that Wasp team were, to be quite honest. I'm backing them. I've got tickets as well.
Oh, you've got tickets?
Yeah, my mum managed to get some this morning. We're going to Twickenham on Saturday. I think it's like 5:30 kickoff, so really excited for that. But I just, yeah, you've got to back the boys now. Like, we've got this far. I just, you know, it's Exeter, and they did play that. A very good game against Sale. I mean, I didn't actually think it would be that sort of open score. I mean, 40-30, and he beat him by 10 points. At Sandy Park as well. It's not easy thing to go and score 30 points. So I thought Sale were a bit unlucky in certain, but, you know, Tuilagi got sent off, like, yellow card, didn't he? Like, quite early on in the game. And I thought, well, they can't really be affording to do that against a team like Exeter, because they will batter you when they've got a man up. They just, you know, they scored a few tries, I think. So
yeah,
but I'm glad we're playing Exeter, because you want to beat the best, I think, you know. And I think Exeter, all right, they finished second, but actually, I didn't realise
they're the best team in the league.
Yeah, they are, and they literally only finished like 2 or 3 points off Bristol for the first place, and Bristol had been there since round 6 when they beat them at Sandy Park. So it was a lot closer than it, you know, than I thought originally. So I think, yeah, they probably are the best in the league. But you know what? I think we're going to do them. It's a home game for Quinns, basically. It's just it's called the Big Stoop. So I think we've literally just got to go there and think, we can create history here. And it'd be nice for some of those players as well that are leaving, and also some of those players like Danny Kerr and Joe Marler, who obviously won it before, but, you know, they get to do it with a different group of players. And also for Danny Kerr, it's probably one of his last seasons for Quinn. So it'd be really nice to see him out with a Prem win.
I definitely think that that's like the one thing, even though I say, you know, can I have doubts about whether they can get up or if they can overdo how emotionally draining that final or semi-final would have been. Yeah, the fact that, you know, Danny Kerr, well, I doubt they'll ever get a chance as good as this again. Not Quinns, but Marler, Kerr, Collier, you know, some of the old heads in the squad that are on their way out last season, not to mention, like, you know, Baldwin, Tapuai, all the players that are leaving. Yeah. So... But I just think Exeter, I don't think you can go 28-0 down against Exeter and come back.
It'll have to be a bit closer than that, I think, you know, at half time anyway.
But they are never out. It's one thing they've shown this season is that they're never ever out. So
no. And we've done it twice this season. I just think because we had during the regular season, we had an away game at Bristol that we should have won, for a late try by Sinclair. And then also at Sandy Park, we should have won. So I think there's two games that we should have beaten them in. And I think, you know, this is going to be our time to do it, because Exeter beat us at home and away, didn't they? Because Sam Simmons scored that really good try at Quinns.
First game of the season, yeah.
Yeah, so they beat us twice. I think third time's lucky for us. And I think we're going to do them. They've got an amazing team. They've obviously got Lions in there as well. But it doesn't matter. It's a one-shot game, isn't it? So, you know, we haven't been there for a while. Obviously, they've won it last year. So just let someone new win it and let Quinns win it. That's what I say.
Yeah. They looked very good against Sale. That was a really good game as well. I have to say, it's quite difficult after like the absolute insanity of the Bristol Quins game to then watch Exeter Sale. But that was a great game, I thought. I thought it was, both teams, just like raw physicality and ferocity. But yeah, they both looked... I think Sale will be back big time. I think they really missed AJ McGinty and Van der Merwe, the hooker and the 10.
Yeah.
Because they really lacked some precision going forwards.
Yeah. Bit of diamonds with that as well, I think. Where he's very good at scrummaging, throwing the ball in and carrying, isn't he? So he's quite quick for... You know, he's like quite a stocky bloke, isn't he? But he's got good turn of pace and he can get, you know, his team on the front foot. So yeah, I think you're right, they did miss him. And then obviously McGinty, he pulls the strings. We has been for last season and a bit. So yeah, that's, I mean, I think they will come back. And obviously I did see Sanderson as well. He's saying, you know, this won't be the last time that you see Sale here. But it might be a bit tight with obviously Saracens getting promoted back to the Prem.
Yeah, literally next season is just going to be crazy. I just think,
yeah,
you can't call it. Sarries, Exeter, Bristol, Quins, Sale, and then you got the likes of Northampton will be better, Wasps will be better, Leicester will be better, Gloucester and Bath, if they can sort their shit out.
Yeah.
Bath will be better because Cipriani, as much as I don't think he's like a world-class 10, will definitely improve their attack, unquestionably.
He'll add something, definitely, even if it's only for a year.
Yeah, exactly. Then Worcester will be a different team. They won't be as bad as they are this year. Newcastle will be better with Nathan Earl, Mike Brown. They've made good signings. And who am I forgetting? That's only 10 teams.
Worcester and London Irish. I think
London Irish will be considerably better as well. They've been good all season. So you're going to have such a tight league. It's going to be crazy. But I don't think you can really look past Saracens, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, look, all those...
And Exeter and Bristol.
Those England players coming back, you know, like...
Yeah, literally.
George, Farrell, Daly. I mean, Liam Williams as well, still there. If he's still there, he's obviously...
Well, Liam Williams? But... He's not there anymore.
Is he not?
Mate, he left ages ago.
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah.
He was an illegal one. Salary cap.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. No. That's right. I'm misremembering it. But anyway, they've got quality players that, and they've got.
Yeah, they'll get Max Malins back, Mazowski back, Issique back, Benel back.
Benel, yeah. Fucking hell, they are going to be insane. Actually,
the only hope is that they're a bit depleted because they're going to lose. Well, George, Mako, Itoje, Farrell, Daly. For the Lions, so they're going to come back, and whereas all other teams will have like they're 5 weeks off now, I'm pretty sure, before preseason starts again. Whereas, you know, Sarries will have that time off, but they'll also be missing all the players with the Lions.
Yeah, and then when they come back, I guess they'll probably get time off.
Yeah, but they're still going to be really good, obviously.
Yeah, no,
It's
good to see that. It's good to see it's a little bit different as well. I mean, obviously, X is the same. It would have been maybe a bit more different, obviously, and a bit better if it was like Harlequin Sale. But to be honest, I'd actually rather play Exeter because
I think we match up better with Exeter than Sale.
Yeah, I think Sale just they're too. The way that they play is very, very different to us, and I think we could get found out maybe.
Yeah, stylistically, it's a terrible matchup for us.
Because they do like to front up as well, Exeter, and they do play a lot of like just through the middle, up the guts with the forwards stuff. But they also do have like expansive backs that, like Flaherty, like he can score from anywhere. Stuart Hogg, you know, he was on the bench, Stuart Hogg. So, yeah, they've got Devoto as well. They've got a good centre partnership. So I think I think it could be, it'll either be a really cagey game or it'll be an expansive game if we can get our attack right. I think we could get a big score, but I think it will definitely be close. It will be a big score, but I think it will be a few points between the teams.
I think it all depends on what the weather's like. And yeah. I'm going to have a look now. I'm going to let you know what the weather in Twickenham is like on Saturday, even though the weather forecast is
unpredictable.
Never really correct, yeah. But I think if it's raining, we have no chance, unfortunately, because St. Eccleston will just play that boring pick-and-go game, kick tactically, kick well, and not really let us have a foothold in the game. I, for some reason, I can't get it up. So
it is. I've just looked now. It is forecasted light rain at the moment.
Light rain.
At 5, so as long as... at five o'clock, the game's at 5:30, 15% chance of rain. But, I mean, the weather can change.
Yeah. Okay.
Between so now the and ball, Saturday. But...
ball would be a bit greasy, so but not too bad.
Yeah. No, I think I'm just saying we're going to win. I don't care. I'm putting it out there. We're winning this. It's going to be ours. I can't be bothered just to be. I'm not going to be impartial. We're going to win, and I'm fully backing them. I can't lie. I'm so excited for it. It's going to be such a. It's just I don't know. It feels a bit different as well. With just like the whole year, it's obviously been shit for everyone. Like obviously more so for people for you know different reasons and stuff, but. You know, it's been a crap year and a half, and we haven't been able to go to games, you know, a lot during this time. And I think it's, you know, to get 10,000 fans, it was supposed to be 20, but the government pushed it back down to 10. You know, at Twickenham, I think it's just nice. It would be a nice occasion. And we saw how many, you know, was it 500 at Ashton Gate? And they were so loud.
Yeah.
Like, I've got a few family friends up there, and they said it was like being at a home game at times. There was 500, but honestly, it sounded like 5,000. They were so up for it. And just a little bit on Bristol, like I saw the players, you know, when it was like just before the half-time break and what was it, Dom Brandt, he took the ball in, knocked it on like 5 metres out. And I saw all the Bristol players and they were laughing and like clapping and stuff. And I think they just got a bit cocky, mate. I think it, honestly... they got cocky and they thought the job was done and they bottled it in the end. Let's be honest about it. They bottled it. Bristol fully bottled it.
Their game management was very poor.
They should have won it. They thought the game was over, but they didn't realise that they're playing the Tri Masters and we can score from anything and anywhere. So, yeah. But respect to Bristol for the whole season. They've been a very exciting team to watch and, you know, I think they'll eventually get to the final one day. It's only a matter of a time, but you know they've done it twice in a row for them. They've lost against two teams in the semi-final. They were away at Wasps, though, weren't they? I think.
Yeah.
I think it was at the Rico. I'm pretty sure.
I can't remember, but yeah, it might well have been.
So I mean, yeah, Quinn's did two bits of history. I think it's the sixth team, only the sixth ever team to win an away semi-final. Quinns became.
Yeah.
And also the biggest overturning points, which was formerly by Quinns against Wasps. I think that was like 26 points or something. So yeah, we made a bit of history and I think we can do a bit more come Saturday. I think come 7 o'clock we'll be hopefully lifting up the Premiership trophy, mate.
Yeah, come on you Quinns. So but before that on Saturday. Going to get the first glimpse of the Lions this year, and the Lions face Japan at 3 o'clock.
Ooh,
so
just before,
yeah, good timing that, so we can watch both games.
Is that Murrayfield? Isn't it?
Yeah, at Murrayfield. Be nice for Lions to have fans for one game as well, just so they know.
GM up a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Go ahead and pick our Lions team. I know we did it last week, but we can actually do it properly this time and have some actual debate. So there are going to be no Saris. Well, I don't think any team that played this weekend will be featuring simply because the team's getting announced tomorrow. So, you know, they're going to be playing catch up. So, yeah, if we start with the front row, who'd your front row be?
I'm going to go for Sutherland, Ken Owens and Furlong. That's pretty decent.
Can I just ask why Sutherland over Wynne Jones?
I don't know. I've just gone. I've just seen him in a bit, bits of him in training and stuff. And I don't know. I just think he. I think it's good for him to get a run out, and it's at Murrayfield as well. I just feel like he deserves a bit of a run out because I don't know actually if he's going to get much game time during the. I don't know if any of the tests. I'm not sure. I think it will be Wynn Jones and Mack over the polar. But I think, you know, if one of them has an injury, I think he is the third choice. So I think he needs to have game time. And Japan, you know, we should beat them, but they're not, you know, they're no slouches.
No way.
And they have got actually pretty decent scrum. So I just think I'd bring Wynn Jones on, but I think you need to have a balance, and it's all about, you know, players having, you know, a good amount of game time under their belt. So that's why I've gone with him and Furlong, just because. Yeah, I just think he is the best tight end.
Furlong. Fair. I'd agree with them. I'd have Sutherland, and Owens, and Furlong, and then, yeah, probably put. Who's the tight head for Scotland?
Ferguson.
Who's going? Ferguson, yeah. So then probably have Wynn Jones, Jamie George, and Ferguson. Because you need another hooker on the bench, and George is the only one. And like, you probably wouldn't risk Sinclair because he played their semi final yesterday.
Yeah.
So yeah, then second rows, I'd probably go Annam Wynn and Courtney Laws.
Yeah. Same. I think probably that's a sick lock partnership. Like,
yeah, very mobile.
Great
line out options.
Engines like to last the whole game as well. And obviously Courtney Laws is a bit of a tackle specialist as well. So, you know, he can add that as well. But you know what? One thing on Courtney Laws, I think, I haven't said it yet, but I think he has actually got so much better under Eddie Jones, because Eddie Jones told him that he needed to get better at carrying in order to get into the England team. And he went away and he did that. And I've seen games before a couple of years ago, and you can see he's not the best carrier. But now he's so good. He takes a little step sometimes and like shimmies past the defender. But yeah, he's just a lot better going in. So yeah, I think he's got so much better.
Totally agree.
His game has just improved, and also he's so good over the ball as well. Like we saw in that game the other day.
He
got like four turnovers or something. So
it's tough though, because I could well easily see them going, you know, Annam Wynn and Ian Henderson, put Laws at six. Or put Tad Burn at six and go. I'd be really interested to see how, if they look for Laws or Burn to play six, because they've taken five locks. So Annam Wynn, Ian Henderson, Courtney Laws, Johnny Hill, Tad Burn, and Itojo.
Yeah.
So you'll think at least two of them, well, we know that Tad Burn, Courtney Laws, and Itojo can all play six.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way they take four or six out and out of second rows.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if maybe we see Tad Burn at six or Courtney Laws at six. So then back row, on top of that, I'd probably go Faletau at eight and Hamish Watson at seven, or maybe Jack Conan at eight, give him a run out, because he's probably third choice, eight behind Faletau and Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Tipperick, or I don't know. I think back row is so competitive.
You can have
any number of combinations that work.
I mean, I would like to see Jack Conan maybe get a run out, because because I think with Sam Simmons and Faletau, I think they'll probably be in the test team.
Definitely.
Might be wrong, but I think just off my gut, I would say that was how it would go. But yeah, maybe like a bit like Rory Sutherland, maybe give Conan a bit of game time, have Faletau on the bench, because they have. I mean, Faletau, what, he played like last week? So
no, because Bath game got called off. So
oh, it did, yeah. So
he hasn't played in a couple of weeks. He's rested.
Yeah.
The only thing I think is that because they're playing Japan in front of crowds, I think they're going to want to start strong. So that's why I think that maybe it won't be a game time game. And I think maybe like Sutherland, Wynn Jones will start. They'll play a really strong team because they want to start well. And then when they play like the Sel sorry the Sel sheet the Sale Sea Sharks.
Yes.
Then that's the game where, you know, like Ian Henderson, Jack Conan, Finn Russell play and like have a chance to prove themselves. And that's why I just think for Japan, I can see them going like Faletau and Hamish Watson. And that's the other thing I wanted to say on Faletau is Simmons, for me, Simmons easily has the capability to be like the Lions' star man, like easily. But I'm telling you right now, Faletau might just have a fucking absolute stormer and just shut everyone up about Simmons. Because I've seen him do it before. Like he, everyone talked about Billy Vanapo and Nathan Hughes in 17. And Faletau in the Six Nations and in the Lions just transcended his game to another level. And that's what you want from the Lions. Like you want that competition so that players raise their game.
Yeah. The only thing I will say on that, though, anything I will say is, like, if in the 2017 Lions, was Billy Vanapola injured?
Yeah, he broke his arm.
Yeah. All I'm saying is, if he was fit in that time, he would have, Billy Vanapola would have started for the Lions.
Definitely. Yeah, he would have played 8 and Faletau probably would have played 6.
Yeah. Or Faletau would come off the bench. But
no way. Faletau's a better rate than Vinopola. Vinopola's one dimensional. No way would Vinopola step Israel Dagg and then beat another back and score in the corner.
He's got that going for it. And look, he's got a great try. And I'm a big fan of him. But I think just the way, even the way that Warren Gatland wants to play, he does like a big ball carrier. But anyway, he's not going. But yeah, Faletau, I really like him, but I don't see him have great games for Bath. And I don't know, I think he needs to move. I think he needs to leave Bath.
Yeah, Bath is shit.
Yeah, so and it's like, you know, he does look good. But I never look at a Bath game and go, oh, Faletau's absolutely unreal. But I don't.
Nah, he does have stormers for Bath now and again. But they play him at 6 as a thing. When they play him at 6 and put Mercer at 8, he doesn't have that carrying ability that he does for Wales. He can't come off
the base of the scrum.
And he's so good at the base of a scrum.
Yeah.
But yeah, all I'm saying is watch out because I've seen every time Faletau, there's doubts around him, question marks.
Mm-hmm.
He pulls it out of the bag. But yeah, so if we go...
I think Faletau, Watson, and I'll probably go for like Tipperick as well.
Tipperick at 7, yeah?
Yeah, Tipperick, and maybe Hamish Watson at 6. I think he can
play 6. That's a banging team.
Like, I mean, you could say Tagburn, but I just really like Hamish Watson. I think he can play 6 or 7.
Yeah.
And against Japan, you're going to need like back row that's quite mobile because they are quick players. And, you know, I think he's very good over the ball. Both Tipperick and Watson are really good over the ball. This is quite dynamic and they can obviously both jump at the line out.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and Faletau.
Yeah, so that's
loads of line out options as well. Yeah,
I mean, you could go Tagburn, but for me, I think Tipperick and Watson just pipping.
Yeah, so 9-10. I would probably go Connor Murray, Dan Bigger.
Yeah, I mean, Connor Murray, look, he's a good player and I do like him. But for me, the whole of the Lions, number 9 is the most boring position.
Yeah. Like,
the boring players for me. I think it's just a very safe. Like, Connor Murray will start because he's done it. He's been there, done it. I think he's had a decent season as well. But he will, like, Warren Gatland knows him. He probably likes him. But he'll probably start at 9. He's like the safest option, I think. And then I think 10, I think Dan Bigger. For me, just the way that he's played, actually, in the last couple of weeks. He's really impressed me, to be fair. So I'd say Dan Bigger at 10, which pains me as a... to say because I don't really like him that much, but
I think they want to look at combinations as well. I think there's every chance Connor Murray and Dan Bigger's at 9-10 for the tests, so you want to get them playing together as soon as possible.
Farrell and Bambiaki in the centres.
Yeah, well, I think Farrell and Henshaw. I don't think Aki can play 13. There's no way you can leave out Henshaw. I think Henshaw's nailed on Farrell, to start somewhere.
Farrell and Henshaw would be quite sick.
Yeah, I just think Henshaw is so good. Like, he I've literally haven't seen him like have a bad game.
Yeah, in ages. Since he was injured,
he's all come Six back Nations, again. He's been mint.
Yeah,
yeah.
Honestly, yeah. So yeah, like, okay.
He's just a dog. He's 12 or 13. Like he's just awesome.
He's got a good eye for the try line as well.
Yeah.
So we're saying Connor Murray, Dan Bigger, and then on the wings, I'm going Anthony Watson. I think he'll get run out, and he's got to start. And then on the other wing, not sure. That's why, yeah. Fullback, I think, is a bit easier. I think let's go Liam Williams. I think we'll play at fullback.
Yeah.
And the other wing.
Well, you got Zamir Adams or Van der Merwe.
Okay, Adams. Adams and Watson. I think that's a good wing.
Solid back three.
And then
who are you playing in the centres then?
Yeah, with centres we're going to go.
Yeah, I think I'd go Henshaw at 12 and maybe Harris at 13.
Yeah,
give Harris a run out.
I think Chris Harris as well, because I'm not sure that he is going to be a test player either. Yeah. So I think he's going to be maybe one of those players that has to like play really, really well during the warm-up games, then maybe like to get himself onto either the starting test team or the bench. So yeah, I think Chris Harris and Henshaw, that'll be a tasty like combination, because Harris is, his defence is really good as well. And he's got good feet and he can get through a defence as well. And then Henshaw, I think, is solid in defence and he's got good link-up play. So, yeah, no, I think that's a pretty good team, actually. I mean, I'm quite confident that any team that they pick will beat Japan, even though, you know, four different nations playing against one team. But Japan haven't played as well for ages. I don't think they haven't played since the World Cup. So
yeah, they haven't.
You know,
they beat the Suntory Sunwolves like last week, I think, in one of their warm-up games.
So but, they played another Japanese team.
Yeah, they played themselves basically.
Yeah. But without congratulations, man! You played yourself. Japan.
Yeah.
they swapped at half time. Was like, yeah, I'm just gonna go play for my club now, mate. I'll see.
Yeah.
So I think. And they're coming to Murrayfield as well, so they've got a trip to come. And yeah, so I think it'll be an interesting match. It'll be cool just to see the Lions run out. But I do expect it to be quite a different team that faces the first game against South Africa.
Definitely.
After the Prem final, you've got obviously no one from Harlequins. I don't know how Danny Kerr's not gone there. Like honestly, I think he's been so unlucky with the Lions. Like four tours he's missed. I'll take him over like Ali Price any day of the week, mate.
I don't know how you can, though. He's not proven at international level in the last three years.
Well, yeah, but that's only because he's not being picked for England by Eddie Jones. He's got 84 caps.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Like so,
but yeah, but he's got 84 caps, so he is good enough to play for England. Like,
yeah, the reason why he played international rugby in the last when last time he played, 2017.
Yeah, something like that. I just think he's definitely
such a jump.
He's desperately unlucky though. Even if he wasn't, because I don't think Ali Price is going to be playing in the test games. So
I was going to say earlier, watch out for Ali Price. I actually think he offers something different to Connor Murray and Gareth Davis. I would not be surprised in a Gregor Townsend running attack. If you want a nine who's just going to absolutely whip the ball out as quick as possible,
yeah,
Ali Price is a better option than Gareth Davis.
Gatlin will go for. Connor Murray and Gareth Davis, because he knows obviously Gareth Davis.
I don't know, you know, I think he'd go Connor Murray and Ali Price. I honestly don't, like, this is a Welshman saying this. Gareth Davis, if he's not going to start, then I don't see why you have him on the bench, because his ball speed isn't good enough. He's only really good, his main strength is defence, and like, you're not going to bring on the defensive, someone whose main pro is their defence in like the 60th minute against the Springboks.
Yeah.
Unless you're like winning, but even then, like, you'd rather bring on someone who's going to speed the game up a bit.
Yeah, that's true. I'm just sad for Danny Kerr, because I think he has been unlucky. You raise a good point about not playing in international rugby in a few years, but I mean, I think when he was playing for England, I think he's been unlucky not to get on the tour, but. You know, look, I don't care because he's gonna score in the final this week. So I'm not too bothered. He can rest up his he can hang up his boots after this. I think if we win it.
I was gonna say, you know, I reckon I saw you signed a 1-year contract extension, but if he wins it this year, if I were him, call it a day there. I reckon you're never gonna top that. So
no, I mean, and also like maybe just keep him in the squad and like so he can train up the new players like Steele and stuff and that New Zealand bloke.
Yeah.
Because they are gonna have to pass the baton on, so you know, someday, and so would Joe Marler. Also, quick one on Joe Marler. I didn't realise it came out, I think, on Sunday, the day after. He got a helicopter ride to, like, Bristol because his fourth child was born. I think he had a daughter the day before. And obviously he wanted to spend as much time with them as he could. So, yeah, they arranged for him to get a helicopter ride to Bristol, which is pretty cool. I saw the video of him getting out the helicopter. Yeah. I'm surprised it was able to fly, to be fair, because it looked quite small. But yeah, that was quite a cool story. But yeah, played what 95 minutes in the final, like a loose head prop. Like, come on, that's just Collier as well. Special shout out to him because he came on, bossed the scrum. We had those two penalties from the scrum near the end of the game, and we eventually scored with Green. But yeah, come on, the Quins, mate. We are going to win. Quins is actually the biggest club in rugby.
Mate, it actually is. About Newport Gwent Dragons, to be honest. But
no way.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'd say Saracens are probably bigger on an international stage.
Yeah, but no, it's on club level though. Like, I don't think in terms of fans, I think Harlequins is the most supported club. I don't even know any Saris fans, mate.
Like, yeah, true.
I honestly think.
But like, you live in a Quins area, so obviously you're going to say that because you're surrounded by Quins fans.
Yeah, but it's not even like when I go to the game though. You speak to people that like travel down from like Reading or you know all over the country. I just think it's such an old club. I think I can't.
You don't think like Leicester or Northampton may be bigger because they've been like better over time.
I think every single player that plays rugby in any country will know Harlequins. Literally.
Mm, yeah, true.
So, you know, they want to come play for the quarters, mate, don't they? So I've got that top, by the way. That the one they were wearing, the away one with like the London Boroughs on it.
Oh, the red and white one.
Yeah, I like that. It's quite sexy. I bought it.
Mate, I want them to run out on Saturday in OG Harlequins kit. You know, the OG, like 2012, 2013, four cubes.
Yeah, no, that's like the old school. My mate Jeff has he's got some because he actually went to those games. he's quite old now. But he has all the retro kits when they were like Who's a Man City? Etihad. That's the sponsor. Yeah,
Etihad. Yeah,
those sort of like old school ones. They're nice. But look, I think it's going to be a good game. It's just exciting to go to a final. It's just something to I don't know, just the story hasn't ended yet. I'm really pleased with that because
I think everyone wrote us off, mate.
Everyone wrote us off and thought Bristol was just going to romp us. And you know, who goes to Ashton Gate and scores 7 tries? I don't know any other team that's done that, really.
No. Neither.
So I think we deserve to be there, and we've beaten one of the team that finished first. So yeah, we can beat the second team as well. No worries, mate. Let's go. Let's have them. That's what I say.
Definitely, mate. Well, on that note, let's wrap it up there.
Good also, ball. Actually, let's just quick note to Benetton. Beating the Bulls in the Rainbow Cup final. So a deadbeat Italian side beats a big South African club. So and they still they have to play the Lions, I think. So that'll be interesting. But
yeah, I mean, if Benetton are going to whack them 35-8, you can imagine what the Lions are going to do to them. But
yeah,
bring it on. It'll be a good game for us.
Yeah, so obviously we've got the 3 o'clock game at Murrayfield and then the Premier final.
30 at Twickers.
Yes. I'll be shouting for you, mate. I'll be shouting for you.
So, yeah, cheers, man. I wish I was there.
Let's wrap it up. I've got to make like a banana and split, as usual. But I hope you enjoyed that. And come on, you Quins!
Yeah, come on, the Quins. Let's go. Take care, everyone. Enjoy the rugby.